I want you to do something for a second. Just hold up your hand and really look at it.
Yeah, take a real close look.
Right. Notice the texture of your skin, right. You know, the shadows between your fingers. And now look past your hand at the room you're sitting in.
Like the physical space around you.
Exactly. Think about that physical space, the air you're breathing, and even the abstract thoughts currently bouncing around inside your own head.
It's a lot to take in all at once.
It is. But what if I told you that every single thing you are experiencing right now, the solid stuff, the invisible stuff, the emotional stuff, is quite literally constructed out of light?
I mean, I know it sounds like poetry, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe some kind of philosophical metaphor.
Yeah, totally.
But we are actually talking about physics here. Literal mathematical physics, where light isn't just something illuminating the room, but the foundational raw material of reality.
Well, welcome to this deep dive. Today, we are taking you on a journey into, honestly, one of the most mind-bending frameworks we've ever come across.
It really is.
We are looking at a book called A Story of Light by Dr. Pravar Malik. And the origin story of this material is fascinating in itself.
Oh, absolutely.
So Dr. Malik was doing his PhD research at the University of Pretoria on complex adaptive systems. And someone had read an earlier book of his and wrote him a staggering 16-page critique letter.
Which is just wild. I mean, it takes a tremendous amount of passion or maybe frustration to write a 16-page critique.
Right.
The author of that letter was a Dr. Dietmar Winsker. But rather than getting defensive, Dr. Malik actually engaged with it.
He leaned into it.
Exactly. That massive critique actually sparked a dialogue that led to the core of Dr. Malik's PhD work.
And during that research, Dr. Malik ended up generating over 225 complex mathematical equations, exploring how, well, basically how everything in the universe operates.
A huge undertaking.
But for this book, he did something incredibly rare for a physicist. He translated all of those 225 equations into plain English.
Yeah, there was not a single equation in the text.
Right, it's just the conceptual architecture of what the math reveals.
It's an enormous feat of translation, really. He recognized that within the cold, hard numbers of his equations, light held a unique foundational place.
It wasn't just a byproduct of the universe.
Exactly. It was the holy grail for a unified theory of everything.
Okay, let's unpack this. We have to start at the very beginning here. Because before we can understand how light creates, like, our human biology or our thoughts, we have to understand the mechanics of how it creates physical reality.
Right. And to do that, we need to talk about speed. Specifically, the speed limit of our current universe.
The famous constant.
Yeah. We know that light travels at a finite speed, which physicists call c. It's about 186,000 miles per second in a vacuum.
Which is incredibly fast.
Super fast. But it's still a finite number. Like, it took about 8 minutes for light from the sun to physically cross the void of space and reach the Earth.
Right. There's a delay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Dr. Malik's equations ask us to imagine a completely different starting condition. What if light traveled at an infinite speed?
Infinite speed. So, meaning it doesn't take 8 minutes, and it doesn't even take a millisecond.
Zero time.
It takes zero time to get from point A to point B.
Yes. At an infinite speed, light instantly fills all space. Regardless of the size of the container, it doesn't travel. It simply is everywhere.
Wow.
And because it is instantly everywhere at once, it possesses what Dr. Malik mathematically defines as four omniproperties.
Four of them. Okay.
First, it is omnipresent. It occupies all possible coordinates. Mm-hmm. Second, because it completely fills the space, nothing else can exist there that isn't made of the light.
So it's the only game in town.
Exactly. Which makes it omnipotent, the sole power in that space. Third, because it is everywhere simultaneously, it has complete instantaneous feedback of everything happening in that space.
Meaning it knows everything.
Right, making it omniscient. Mm-hmm. And fourth, because it connects every single point to every other point instantly, holding the entire system together without gaps.
It's all connected.
Yeah, it is omni-nurturing.
Okay, I can visualize the omnipresent and omnipotent parts, I think. But we don't live in a universe of infinite light. We live in a universe where light is stuck going 186,000 miles per second.
And that deceleration is the key to everything. In our universe, light has slowed down.
Slowed down from infinity.
Right. And the moment you slow light down from infinity, it takes a fraction of time to travel even the tiniest microscopic distance.
Okay.
That fraction of time creates friction. It causes a buildup of energy. Instead of a smooth infinite presence, the energy bunches up.
Like it gets clogged.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
It creates a packet or a quantum. This bunching up of energy is the literal birth of physical matter.
Oh, wow.
Therefore, what we typically call the Big Bang wasn't an explosion out of nothingness. It was simply light slowing down from an infinite speed to a finite speed.
I want to pause on this because I'm trying to picture how, like, slowing down suddenly creates a solid object.
It's a jump, for sure.
Think about a wildly rushing river. If that water is moving incredibly fast at its absolute top speed, it can't be contained. It just obliterates whatever is in its way.
Pure, unstoppable force.
Exactly. But if that river hits a wider, flatter plain and slows down, it starts to pool. It forms eddies and currents. It can suddenly be held by the boundaries of the riverbank.
I love that analogy.
Are we saying that pools of slowed down light are the physical building blocks of the universe?
The river analogy is highly accurate here. When the light is infinitely fast, the energy is continuous. There are no boundaries, no discrete objects.
Right.
When it slows down, the energy becomes discontinuous.
Mm-hmm.
It appears in those localized pools or packets you mentioned. Those packets literally become the foundational particles of matter.
That is wild.
And crucially, it doesn't just create matter. Because light now takes time to travel from one packet to another, the very concept of time is born.
Let's follow that logic. If you are sitting on a light ray halfway between the sun and Earth, the sun is where you came from. It's the physical history.
The earth is where you're going. It's the potential future.
Exactly. And Dr. Malik maps these temporal concepts directly to physical realities.
How so?
Well, in this framework, the past represents physicalness, the stable, crystallized foundation of work that has already been done. The present represents vitality, the active, energetic play of forces happening right now.
And the future.
The future represents mentality, the inevitability of abstract thoughts and ideas seeking physical expression.
Wait, if light just pulls up when it slows down, that only explains random clumps of matter. But our universe isn't a random soup of energy.
No, it's highly structured.
Right, it's highly ordered laws of physics. How does this theory account for the structured laws of the universe?
What's fascinating here is how those four infinite omni properties we discussed don't just disappear when the light slows down.
The omniscience, omnipresence, all those.
Yeah. They translate into our finite world. They become the four pillars of our physical reality. Omniscience steps down to become knowledge. Omnipotence steps down to become power. Omnipresence steps down to become presence. And omninurturance steps down to become harmony.
I have to push back here a little bit.
Sure, go ahead.
Isn't it highly possible we're just seeing patterns where we want to see them? Humans love categorizing things into neat little boxes.
You do, yeah.
And grouping things into fours is practically a philosophical trope, you know? Earth, wind, water, fire. Are we just projecting poetry onto math?
It's a completely fair critique, and human pattern matching is a real bias. But here, the math precedes the pattern.
Really?
Yeah. Dr. Malik demonstrates how these four pillars govern the literal, measurable behavior of quantum mechanics. Let's look at the standard model of particle physics.
Okay, let's do it.
Quarks, which group together to dictate the unique identity and blueprint of an element, function as knowledge.
Because they hold the blueprint. Makes sense.
Right. Leptons, like the electron which flows with kinetic energy and creates chemical bonds, function as power. The Higgs boson, whose entire mechanical job is to give other particles their mass and weight, functions as presence.
Wow.
And bosons, which are the fundamental force carriers that mediate relationships between all other particles, function as harmony.
So instead of just memorizing a textbook list of subatomic particles, we're looking at their cosmic functions.
Exactly.
The blueprint, the battery, the physical weight, and the glue.
Beautifully put. And as we scale up from those quantum particles to actual atoms, the pattern holds perfectly in the periodic table of elements.
Wait, really? The periodic table?
Yes. The four main blocks of the periodic table are literal chemical manifestations of these pillars.
Here, great, break that down for me.
You have the S block, which includes hydrogen and helium. This is the highly explosive energetic fuel of stars. That is power.
The battery of the universe.
Got it. Then you have the D block, the transition metals, like iron, titanium, and copper. These provide the hard structural weight of the constructed world. That is presence.
Okay, that tracks.
Then there is the F block, the lanthanides and actinides, which are characterized by strong magnetic fields and highly complex extended chemical relationships. That is harmony.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. That leaves the P block of the periodic table.
Yes, the pillar of knowledge.
The P block is knowledge. And if you look at what sits right there in the P block, you find carbon and silicon.
Heavy hitters.
Right. Carbon is the foundational archetype of all biological life. It's the basis of our DNA, which is purely an information processing system.
Yeah.
And silicon is the foundation of all of our computing, our microchips, our artificial intelligence. They are both profound information processors, and they both sit perfectly in the knowledge group.
Which is amazing, isn't it?
It is an elegant, functional pattern hidden in plain sight.
The probability clouds of these atoms, the physical geometry of how their electrons are arranged, literally shape the function they serve in the universe.
So the universe is fundamentally function-based, not just form-based.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've built the periodic table out of slowed-down light. We have carbon, iron, hydrogen. But how do we get from cold, hard metals and gases to living, breathing organisms?
The jump to biology.
Yeah. How does a rock become a human cell?
We scale up the math again. Those same four pillars structure the biology of our cells. Every living thing on Earth uses four basic molecular plans.
The rule of four again?
Yep. First, nucleic acids like your DNA and RNA. Their entire mechanical purpose is to act as the cell's library, storing and transmitting the blueprints of life. That functions as knowledge.
Okay, the biological blueprint.
Second, polysaccharides, which are complex sugars. Mechanically, they are energy storage containers. Breaking their chemical bonds releases the kinetic energy the cell needs to move. That functions as power.
And what about presence and harmony?
Third, proteins. These aren't just nutritional building blocks. They are literal, physical, molecular machines.
Right, that do the work.
Yeah, a human cell builds around 30,000 different kinds of proteins to execute diverse physical tasks with extreme diligence. They do the heavy lifting. That is presence.
Okay. And harmony?
Fourth, lipids or fats. Mechanically, lipids form huge, waterproof sheets. They create the cellular membrane.
Oh, the walls of the cell.
Exactly. By creating a boundary, they define an inside and an outside, allowing specialized relationships and chemistry to exist within the cell without everything just spilling out into a chaotic soup. That is harmony.
But, I mean, you can't just throw DNA, sugar, proteins, and fat in a blender and get a living cell.
Definitely not.
Something has to orchestrate them. They have to interact in a highly specific way.
This is where Dr. Malek introduces a radical mechanical redefinition of a word we use every single day. He states that the force binding these four distinct properties together so they can form stable layers of complexity, whether at the quantum level, the atomic level, or the cellular level, is love.
Okay, hold on. Love.
I know, I know.
I need you to break this down mechanically because I want to make sure you listeners aren't rolling your eyes right now. Is love just gravity or the strong nuclear force with a PR spin?
It's more profound than that.
How does the chemical bond holding a lipid and a protein together literally manifest as love?
I know the word carries a lot of emotional baggage, but strip away the romance and look at the physics.
Okay.
If the properties of knowledge, power, presence, and harmony acted completely independently, you would just have an endless flurry of chaotic flows. There would be no stability.
Just noise.
Right. A universe made of only one type of atom, acting selfishly, would crush itself under its own weight or fly apart completely.
So love is the glue.
Love, in this physics framework, is the innate mathematical law forcing separated parts to act together to sustain complexity. It is the action of oneness in crystallized form.
Oh, because they all used to be one thing.
Yes. Remember, all this matter used to be infinite light, used to be one unified thing. Love is the structural memory of that unity, pulling the separated pieces back into a cooperative system.
I see. So it's the thermodynamic opposite of chaos.
Exactly.
It's the physics of holding distinct parts together so the universe doesn't literally fall apart.
Without that specific binding mechanism, the next layer of evolutionary complexity cannot factually emerge.
Well, if our cellular biology is quite literally constructed of light and physically bound by this cohesive force of love, then it stands to reason that the things happening purely inside us are too.
You mean our minds?
Yeah, our subjective experiences, our minds, our emotions, they must be governed by these exact same physics.
They map perfectly, because the brain generating those subjective experiences is made of the same light. Human sensations, urges, feelings, and thoughts are direct emergences of light's properties.
Can we map those out too?
Sure. Thoughts, which allow us to conceptualize and map our environment, are an emergence of knowledge. Urges and desires that raw drive to achieve, consume, or move forward are an emergence of power.
Okay.
Sensations, touching, seeing, hearing are the mechanical means by which we become physically grounded in the world. That is presence. And feelings and emotions, our internal radar for connection and empathy, are an emergence of harmony.
So every time I try to solve a puzzle, or every time I have the urge to grab a sandwich, that's just the slowed down light expressing itself through these four pillars.
Essentially, yes. Dr. Malik explains that each of us has what he calls a truer individuality.
What does that mean?
Imagine those four properties as massive rushing streams of data. When they crash together, they form countless unique seeds. Your truer individuality is just a unique mathematical equation of those light seeds.
Oh, what the?
Maybe your specific equation has a heavy weight in harmony, a profound drive to connect people combined with a specific weight in knowledge, a drive to understand the deep mechanics of what makes them tick.
So what does this all mean for you, the person listening to this right now? If we are literally mathematical equations of light, can we actually use that information?
Dr. Malik says yes, through what he calls light mathematics and light medicine.
Okay, let's look at healing a bodily dysfunction. Usually, if your knee hurts, you take an anti-inflammatory pill. Or maybe if you're into alternative wellness, you try to just think positive thoughts.
Right, but Dr. Malik's protocol is much more structural.
How so?
Illness or pain in this mathematical framework is simply a localized area of cells that have forgotten their foundational connection to the infinite light. They are caught up in the dynamics of separation and decay.
I want to clarify the mechanism here because this can quickly sound like generic manifestation.
It's not, though.
Right. Like if I just think about my knee being better, it will be. What's the actual physics of this meditation?
Think of it like debugging a line of code in a massive software program. You don't fix a software glitch by just wishing the computer worked better.
No, you have to actually rewrite the code.
Exactly. You have to locate the specific line of corrupted code and rewrite it with the original clean syntax. When you meditate on the pain in your knee, you don't just passively wish it away. You mentally visualize the physical tissue.
Okay.
Then you zoom in to see the cells making up the tissue. Then you visualize the atoms making up the cells and the quantum particles making up the atom.
You go all the way down.
You actively flood that hyper-specific visualization with the structural memory of the infinite light source. You are mathematically reconnecting the isolated corrupted code in your knee back to the omnipresent infinite master program it came from.
Wow. You're using your consciousness, which is made of the knowledge pillar, to direct the power pillar, to affect the presence pillar, your physical knee.
That's a great way to summarize it. I mean, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it also explains how we can interact with the broader world.
How so?
Dr. Malik describes a protocol for shifting the world. You can pick an area of intense global conflict, a place where populations are violently embedded in opposed points of view.
And to be clear, you aren't sending your personal political opinion to this conflict, right? You aren't willing one specific side to win over the other.
Absolutely not. Personal bias operates entirely in the realm of separated, slowed down light. It is part of the friction.
Okay, so what do you do?
Instead, you project the fullness of infinite light to surround that entire geographic area. You visualize the people, their thoughts, all the way down to their quantum particles as nothing but a complex play of light.
Just pure math again.
Exactly. You offer the entire situation to the light, letting the infinite properties of knowledge, power, presence, and harmony resolve the system from its own unified mathematical point of view.
You are removing your human ego and letting the foundational code of reality debug the system.
Yes.
We aren't just sitting in the universe. We are active, conscious nodes of the universe's light. We are capable of rewriting the code of our own reality. That is incredibly empowering.
It completely shifts you from being a passive observer of a cold, mechanical universe to being an active, integral participant in a living, light-based system.
Okay, we have covered massive ground today.
We really have.
We started at the Big Bang, realizing it wasn't an explosion out of nothing, but infinite light decelerating to create the friction of space, time, and matter.
Yep.
We watched that matter organize into four structural pillars: knowledge, power, presence, and harmony, which beautifully dictated the periodic table.
The standard model, too.
Right. We saw those exact same pillars build our biological cells, bound together by the thermodynamic physical force of love.
The ultimate glue.
And finally, we arrived at us. Conscious beings whose very thoughts and feelings are made of light capable of debugging our own code and reconnecting back to the infinite source.
It is a framework that systematically dissolves the artificial boundaries we've built between physics, biology, and human consciousness.
So the next time you feel small or isolated or entirely overwhelmed by the chaos of the world, I want you to remember this. You are literally the entire universe's potential compressed into a human form.
It's a beautiful thought.
You are not a tiny, irrelevant speck in a cold void. You are the infinite light, slowed down just enough to experience itself. You are never truly separated from anything.
That is the ultimate mathematical takeaway of Dr. Malik's equations. Separation is an illusion born purely from the finite speed of light.
But before we go, I want to leave you with one final, deeply provocative thought from Dr. Malik's work. Something to chew on long after you take off your headphones.
Oh, this is a good one.
We spent this whole time talking about light moving at an infinite speed, creating omni-properties. And we talked about light moving at our universe's speed, C, creating solid matter. But what if light is traveling simultaneously at speeds between C and infinity?
This raises a massive question about the nature of our immediate physical reality.
Right. Dr. Malik suggests that if light traveled at a constant speed faster than C, let's just call it speed K, it wouldn't have enough time to slow down and bunch up into solid matter.
But it wouldn't be infinite either.
Exactly. It would only have time to form waves. Therefore, intersecting right here, right now, in the exact physical space you were sitting in, there could be entirely different wave-only universes stacked on top of ours.
Existing right alongside us.
Universes born from entirely different speeds of light existing simultaneously with ours, occupying the exact same coordinates.
It completely redefines what we mean when we casually say a space is empty. There might be no empty space at all.
So look at your hand again. Look at the empty air around it. What kind of life, what kind of reality, what kind of conscious experience exists in a universe made entirely of waves passing right through your fingers at this very second?
That's a lot to think about.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep looking closely at the world around you, keep asking questions, and keep exploring.